This is a weekly summary of news about women and women's issues and from women's perspectives, which comes to you from the weekly Cheers and Jeers column of the Women's E! News. I'm Nancy Casey.
Starting with the good news, for the first time in Winter Olympics history, an Iranian woman will compete for her country. Marjan Kalhor, age 21, who heads the Iranian team in the Vancouver Games, told CNN, quote, "Since Turin, I've told myself that if Iran allows women to compete in the next Olympics, I have to be the first," unquote. Banners of Kalhor are scattered all over Tehran, yet it is unknown whether Iran will even broadcast the Olympics, which have been blocked in the past. Kalhor will be joined by three male Iranian athletes and form the only team from the Middle East to participate in the Games. Iran has sent male athletes to the Winter Games 9 times since 1956, but none has returned home with medals. More news to cheer this week? After months of controversy, the Center for Sexual Pleasure and Health, the first nonprofit sexuality resource and information center on the East Coast, was granted a permit and is now open in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Megan Ondalou, a board-certified sexologist and sexuality educator and the founder and director of the center, has been in a legal battle over permits for the center since September. Cheers for a new government initiative called Text for Baby that educates and encourages healthy habits in pregnant women. Expectant mothers who opt for this free program will receive pregnancy-related text messages on their cell phones in either Spanish or English. The messages will cover topics such as nutrition, flu prevention and treatment, and immunization schedules. Text for Baby messages can also connect women to public clinics of support services and to prenatal and infant care. Voxivia, the firm administering the service, is hoping that the project will raise the profile of such messages as a tool for delivering health services in the United States. And now for the bad news. The Citizens Summit Against Sex Slavery, a coalition of Canadian women's groups, academics, and politicians, gave the Vancouver Olympic Organizing Committee, the British Columbia government, and the Canadian federal government all a grade of F for the security of women and youth in terms of human trafficking during the 2010 Winter Games. Benjamin Perrin, a law professor at the University of British Columbia specializing in human trafficking, said he knew of, quote, dozens of young women, mostly from major urban centers and native reserves, who were being sent to Vancouver to deal with an unexpected surge of tourists seeking prostitutes. Spikes in prostitution often coincide with mass sporting events. Vancouver police aren't planning on any crackdown on prostitution during the games. More news to jeer this week? Scott Roeder, convicted killer of Kansas abortion provider Dr. George Tiller, compared Tiller's family members to the relatives of a hitman, saying that he has little sympathy for them, all this in a recording posted last week online, his first public comment since the trial. Roeder was convicted of first-degree murder on January 29th for shooting Tiller last May in a Wichita church. Roeder was also convicted of 2 counts of aggravated assault for threatening 2 ushers who tried to stop him after the shooting. He will be sentenced on March 9th. Roeder also criticized those who tried to keep the issue of abortion out of the proceedings altogether, saying it was like asserting that the trial for abolitionist John Brown was not about slavery. Cheers for the government of Iran, which sent 5 security officers to arrest Maryam Ghanbari. The 27-year-old lawyer and women's rights activist was arrested at her home in Tehran on February 8th, according to her lawyer, Mina Jafari. Where Ghanbari was taken, where she was held, and what formal charges she might be facing is unknown. Ghanbari has been very active in the national women's movement's struggles against the draft of a new family law that includes laws on divorce, fixed-term marriage contracts for men, child custody, and legislation that could allow a man to take a second wife without the permission of the first. She is also part of the Volunteer Lawyers Network, a voluntary legal service for vulnerable women. Jeers for obesity, high blood pressure, diabetes, and cesarean complications, all possible factors in the way pregnancy-related deaths in California have risen at a faster rate during the last 10 years than at any time since the 1930s. The State Department of Health also reports that maternal mortality rate trends are currently worse in California than in Kuwait or Bosnia. The nation's leading healthcare accreditation and standards group alerted hospitals to beware that California's trend could be an indicator of a national record. We note this week that Costa Rica elected its first female president, Lauren Chinchilla, who will be the 5th Latin American woman to serve as president when she takes office in May. A social conservative, Chinchilla opposes abortion and gay marriage. We note also that in his proposed 2011 budget, President Barack Obama addresses the needs of low-income and disadvantaged people and calls for extending the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families Emergency Fund, which ends on September 30, 2010. However, the Center on Budget and Private Policy Priorities, a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit think tank, is concerned that about 50,000 people will lose their jobs if this fund is not enacted by Congress now. The organization is asking Congress to reauthorize the fund right away and not through a federal budget process. And this week we remember Susan Hill, a national women's rights advocate and the owner of several abortion clinics around the country. Susan Hill died of breast cancer at the age of 61. Hill operated more clinics in the United States than anyone else, particularly in rural areas where women do not have access to abortion services. She sued protesters 34 times for blocking entrances and preventing women from going into the facilities. Her brother, Dan Hill, said, quote, "She's probably the toughest person I ever knew. People really wanted to kill her, and she never flinched," unquote. These news briefs were compiled by the staff of the Women's E! News.
Rita Henley Jensen is the editor-in-chief. This audio production of Women's E! News was produced in the studios of KRFP in Moscow, Idaho, and brought to you by VP Foundation and Yin Radio, which you can find on the web at vpfound.org. Background music is by Joan Hickey. The text of this broadcast and more news about women can be found at the Women's E! News website, womensenews.org. For Yin Radio and KRFP, I'm Nancy Casey.